If, Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distant run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Love and Friendship, Emily Bronte. Love is like the wild rose briar, friendship like the holly tree. The holly is dark when the rose briar blooms, but which will bloom most constantly? The wild rose briar is sweet in spring, its summer blossoms scent the air. Yet wait till winter comes again, and who will call the wild briar fair? Then scorn the silly rose wreath now, and deck thee with the holly's sheen, that when December blights thy brow, he may still leave thy garland green. Bonds of Friendship, Craig Burkholder. From the day that I first knew you, your heart was pure and kind. Your smile was sweet and innocent. Your wit was well refined. The sparkle in your eyes was keen, your friendship fast and real. Soft words were your virtue, and humor your appeal. We grew as friends together, we laughed and shared our dreams. Along the way, crush or two went unrevealed, it seems. As years rolled on, our paths were split, our roads went separate ways. We each pursued our interests that occupied our days. We soon forgot our youthful bliss of tender carefree years. We didn't talk or keep in touch throughout life's pain and tears. Then my darkest hour came and tried me to my core. To save my heart from ruin, I closed and locked the door. Then out of every nowhere, with precise directed cue, an old familiar smile came slowly into view. Although much time was gone, and the die of fate long cast, it was as if we hadn't missed a second of the past. You listened with attentive care and reassured my mind that loving hearts are still alive with purpose and design. Deep inside I've locked away emotions yet untold. As the time goes on and bonds grow strong, they will all unfold. So thank you, friend, for taking time to demonstrate your love. It's yet another blessing that I'm undeserving of. I Should Not Dare to Leave My Friend, Emily Dickinson. I should not dare to leave my friend, because if he should die while I was gone, and I, too late, should reach the heart that wanted me. If I should disappoint the eyes that hunted so to see, and could not bear to shut until they noticed me. If I should stab the patient faith, so sure I'd come. It listening, went to sleep, telling my tardy name. My heart would wish it broke before, since breaking then, were useless as the next morning's sun, where midnight frosts had lain. My World, Anonymous. When did this happen? When did you turn into something so special, into someone I'd love? The words you speak now feel so different, lacerated with love. The closer you are, the faster my heart beats, and now we are inseparable. Formed this connected with the bond of love, my friend, you were once, now you are more, you are my world. The Arrow and the Song, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I shot an arrow into the air. It fell to the earth, I knew not where. For so swiftly it flew, the sight could not follow it in its flight. I breathed a song into the air. It fell to earth, I knew not where. For who has sight so keen and strong that it can follow the flight of song? Long, long afterward, in an oak, I found the arrow still unbroke, and the song, from beginning to end, I found again in the heart of a friend. You are my world, Chelsea. You're the thought that starts each morning, the conclusion to each day. I envision you in all that I do, and everything I say. You're the smile on my face, the sparkle in my eye, the warmth inside my heart, the fullness in my life. The only hand that's laced to mine, the coat upon my back. My friend and love, you have my heart. I will never turn back. You're the dimple in my cheek, the constant tingle in my soul, the voice that makes me weak. You're the one who shields the cold. You're all I've wanted, all that I need. You're all that I dream of. You mean so much to me. Will you ever? Caitlin M. Yon. I don't think you will ever fully understand how you've touched my life and made me who I am. I don't think you could ever know just how truly special you are, that even on the darkest nights, you are my brightest star. You've allowed me to experience something very hard to find, unconditional love that exists in my body, soul, and mind. I don't think you could ever feel all the love I have to give, and I'm sure you'll never realize you've been my will to live. You are an amazing person, and without you, I don't know where I'd be. Having you in my life completes and fulfills every part of me. I love you, Yasmin. I never really knew you. You were just another friend. But when I got to know you, I let my heart unbend. I couldn't help past memories that would only make me cry. I had to forget my first love and give love another try. So I've fallen in love with you, and I'll never let you go. I love you more than anyone. I just had to let you know. And if you ever wonder why, I don't know what I'd say, but I'll never stop loving you each and every day. My feelings for you will never change. Just know my feelings are true. Just remember one thing. I love you. God's gift to me, Carrie R. DeVore. You are my sunshine. You are my shining star. Everything I'm not, you are. You make me laugh. You make my heart smile. Everything you do makes life worthwhile. You give lovingly. You always have cheer. Everything you are, I hold dear. You are so sweet. You are so very kind. Everything I cherish, in you I find. You are a blessing. You are an angel I see. Everything about you is God's gift to me. You were there, Emily Robinson. When tears fell from my eyes, you were there to brush them away. When I was lost in confusion, you were there to say that everything would be okay. When I stood before you falling apart, you were there to lend your heart. When I felt like no one could understand, you were there to take my hand. When no one else was left to care, you were there. The Cremation of Sam McGee, Robert W. Service. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake LaBarge I cremated Sam McGee. Now Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the South to roam round the pole, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell, though he'd often say in his homely way that he'd sooner live in hell. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of your cold, through the parka's fold it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd close, then the lashes froze till sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, as we laid packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed and the stars overhead were dancing heel and toe, he turned to me and, "Cap," says he, "I'll cash in this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking that you won't refuse my last request." Well, he seemed so low that I couldn't say no. Then he says with a sort of moan, "It's the cursed cold, and it's got right hold till I'm chilled clean through the bone. Yet 'tain't being dead. It's my awful dread of the icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that foul or fair, you'll cremate my last remains." A pal's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And we started on at the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh, and he raved all the day of his home in Tennessee. And before nightfall, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried, horror-driven, with a corpse half hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, "You may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains." Now a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, in my heart I cursed that load. In the long, long night by the lone firelight, while the huskies round in a ring howled out their woes to the homeless snows. Oh God, how I loathed the thing. And every day that quiet clay seemed to heavy and heavier grow. And on I went, though the dogs were spent and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad and I felt half mad, but I swore I would not give in. And I'd often sing to that hateful thing, and I hearkened with a grin. Till I came to the marge of Lake LaBarge, and a derelict there lay. It was jammed in the ice, but I saw in a trice it was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought a bit, and I looked at my frozen chum. "Then here," said I with a sudden cry, "is my crematorium." Some planks I tore from the cabin floor and I lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames just soared and the furnace roared, such a blaze you seldom see. And I burrowed a hole in the glowing coal and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so, and the heavens scowled and the huskies howled and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot, wet sweat rolled down my cheeks, and I don't know why. And the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out and they danced about ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked. Then I opened the door wide. And there sits Sam, looking cool and calm in the heart of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile you could see a mile, and he said, please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was at night on the marge of Lake LaBarge. I cremated Sam McGee.